thinking it was because of this or it was because of that. It was because I had a hard week, and so when I came to church, I felt like I could just unload. But that the power of God hits so hard that you individually know that you've been shaken. That we don't walk out of here dreading what's going to happen in the week, but that we know God has it, that God's gone before us in the week, that it's got appointments in the week. Hey, Paul, I was going to ask something. This is a little, I guess, think as I go, calling an audible. Could you stop that video at 34 seconds? The one that I sent you the link. 34 seconds. We had it like a minute something. I have something I want to share with you today. It is about our mission trip, and it is not about our mission trip. I was at the beach this week, and I was just trying to put my thoughts together. If you know me, you know that I write in notebooks and on napkins and on my hand and on whatever. And at the given time, God will assemble those bits and pieces and make it something. At first, it bothered me. Dina has probably watched a few good sermons. But that's where we are. I wanted to ask a question today. We'll worry about the slides when we get there. Have you ever had a plan? Have you ever had a plan? No, it could be something grand. Could be your 5-year plan. Could be a retirement plan. Could be something small. An example would be this week. When I was on vacation, I boogie board in the ocean. And when the waves are coming, I see myself as a pro surfer, riding that thing, and everyone at the beach just like, looking. Shortly thereafter, it is all just me rolling in sand and hoping my trunks are still on and landing on my face, and my plans don't go according to my plan. Have you ever been there? We all have this picture in our minds of how things are going to turn out. It could be for ourselves. It could be for our loved ones. It could be for the church. We've had these plans. We've had those things there. And as we go on through life, we start to learn that our plans and the plot twists don't always line up. We start to see that. As followers of Christ, that's tough. That is tough for us. We begin to bring our faith into question at times. But I thought. We begin to put ourselves in a place where we're making decisions and thinking God's going to answer to us. Today, I want to just talk to you for a few minutes about things not working out the way that we planned. Last month, I went on a mission trip with 20-something of my closest friends. That was a trip that months of planning had gone into. I had played it out in my mind 1,000 times, and it was picture perfect. I like photography. I like the scene, the setting. Oh, I had it all. I had the soundtrack in my head. I had everything. We had the shirts. We had the prep. We had every single part of this ready to roll. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many plans occupy the minds of a man, but the Lord's purposes will prevail." On my trip, things that I did not factor in or plan for: flat tires on a beater rental van, near hurricane force winds, blowing sand into our food, our faces, everything. It just was bad news there. Our entire team plan changing within hours of arriving on a reservation. I didn't plan for biting gnats. I didn't plan on working on inherited projects that sometimes were far beyond our skill sets or our manpower abilities. I didn't plan on surprise speaking engagements. I did not plan on standing on a cinder block balancing for 30 minutes with my thumb in a PVC shower pipe, attempting to keep all the water for the week from running out onto the ground. I guess I should have, but I didn't plan for that. I didn't plan on a very friendly pack of dogs following us around. I didn't plan on so many time changes that I seriously forgot what day it was at times, and I did not plan on generally not having control. See, I'm a firm believer in the power of a mission trip, because I believe that on a mission trip, when you breathe the air of the people that you're trying to reach and you're faced with challenges that you don't expect coming from all different directions, that's when God speaks to your heart. You have a collective experience as a group, but personally, you have an experience that you are left to interpret. What is God saying through this? What is God doing through this? What will be on the other side of this? Will I leave the same? How am I going to do what I do? With the teens, we would do this debriefing exercise, and it was a rose, thorn, bud approach. And if you've never heard of that, the rose is the good thing, the good thing. The thorn was a challenge, something that was tough for you. And the bud is a hope. Something that you're thinking, oh, this is what's going to come. I wanted to set that up because we have a video. If you could roll the video that Jeremiah made. He's not here this morning, but Jeremiah August did an incredible job on this video. And I'm so thankful for what he did. So we're going to roll this video. And this is some of our teens, and this is their take on the mission trip.
For the trip was just seeing everybody in unity, all of us coming together with our differences and just having a good time and just being together made it kind of just unique.
My name is Leah, and my best part of this mission trip was getting to know the kids and know what they do for a living. And there was one kid I met, I think his name was Daniel, and he was just the funniest kid ever. What he did for fun was throw sand balls at stink bugs.
My rose is all of the kids working together and being able to accomplish a lot of things.
I think that my rose was just when the fact that God let us be the group that finished a few projects, because I think that that really unified us and really kind of brought us together for a common goal. Because I know one group that didn't finish, it drove him crazy.
My rose would be working together as a group and working for the Navajo Reservation.
My rose was probably just all of us becoming closer and becoming better friends, if that's even possible, and just always being together.
My rose would be getting to know a lot of people and going on a different experience that I haven't gone on before and seeing things that I haven't seen before.
Okay, so my rose from our Arizona mission trip was definitely a hope. The hope that I saw in the people that we were helping, a hope that I came home with, the hope that, you know, one person can make a change, and the hope that I have seen in our children, the way that they worked while we were there, and the way that they pulled together and did not complain. There's just a hope that those are our future leaders, and the way that they serve Jesus gave me such a sense of gratitude and hope coming home.
Hello, everybody. I am John Nitt, and I'm going to give you my rose, my thorn, and my bud from our Arizona mission trip. First and foremost, the rose was definitely seeing the end result with all the kids and how they came together to complete tasks that were a little bit out of the norm for pretty much 95% of us. There were a few people there who were skilled at that, but seeing the way that the kids just handled situations that were definitely out of the norm and they were unprepared for, and with our particular group of kids, it was awesome to see how they were able to bounce in there and just hang in there and roll the punches, so to speak.
My rose was watching the group become so selfless. Everyone was preferring one another. There was no complaining. There were no fights. There was no, I'm too tired, I'm hungry, I don't want to do this. I was just so overwhelmed by the way our entire group came together, worked together in unity, and just put ourselves aside and really did God's work and loved each other as we should have been all along.
My thorn is the living conditions. There was dust everywhere, the cots were uncomfortable, the girls would not stop talking in the middle of the night, so we couldn't sleep.
My thorn was the dogs that were getting all over everyone. Most of the short kids, which includes me.
My thorn would have to be the weather. It was a little, I don't know, shaky, I guess.
My thorn?
I really don't know.
My thorn was a literal thorn in my side and hands. I fell into a cactus.
My thorn is probably just not being able to see everything through and see everything get finished.
My thorn is not being able to do as much as I wanted to. So not being able to see all the kids every day or not being able to help as much as I wanted to. My thorn was probably just not having all of my kids there, not having my husband there, going as a family in the future. The things that we learn and seen and experienced, I would hope that everybody can see and experience those things within their life. So the thorn, just not having key people in my life there to share that with.
My thorn, if you will, aside from the sand boogers that I had for about 2 weeks after I got home, they were pretty good size out there, really I didn't have too much of a thorn. I pretty much enjoyed the way that the entire trip went. I didn't have any issues really with anything out there. I thought it was a beautiful trip. There were a lot of things that were completely different than what we expected to be. And I guess if you're looking for a thorn in the group, if I have to make a thorn, it would probably be that I may have liked to have seen a little bit more of the culture there. But that was my plan, and God had a different plan, and God's plan is always the right plan, so that is it.
My thorn is a close tie between anxiety that I had to battle preparing right before the trip and also when we got there with some difficult situations, or the wild, mangy dogs that I hate. But the dogs are probably responsible for 50% of the anxiety, so I'm gonna lump them together as my thorn.
My bud is either like the seed we planted or the seed we are watering, just to see it grow, and hopefully it will help them to just change the world.
My bud was the concrete. It's just cool that we actually help someone that will make their life easier.
My bud, some of the things we didn't get to finish, so I'm wanting to make sure other people can finish that for them.
The bud was probably the relationships that I made with all the kids in our youth group and the fact that, like, some of the people, we were really united, and that has never really happened before. I've always kind of felt like I was left out, or like nobody really knew who I was or appreciated me, but after this trip, I don't really feel like that anymore at all.
My bud was working for them and not being able to wait to come back to them.
My bud is probably just seeing how the relationships we build, how they grow.
My bud is to go back and see how the church has grown since we've been there and see the different kind of things that Pastor JR has brought into it and to see what they did. My bud was definitely, that was a first for me, my first mission experience, and I look forward to doing it again. The bud is wanting to go back and wanting to serve and instilling that in each of my children.
And the blossom of the trip was seeing that the way the kids all kind of formed together as a tighter group after that, and seeing the way that the relationships that were formed at the Arizona missions trip are still kind of working themselves out now. There's people that are definitely forming tighter bonds, and there's people that I knew for a long time that I just know differently now. And it's awesome to see the way that God kind of orchestrated that out and used that trip to kind of blend our relationships together a little bit stronger. Like Bob Meredith, for instance. I never talked to that guy, but you know, I talk to him all the time now. So it's an awesome thing. That is the blossom.
My bud is the potential that I saw in us as a church family, not just as a youth group, but the adults, the kids, everyone coming together to work in unity and to do something awesome for God. And even if the actual event didn't go off as we were expecting it to, God did something in us that was just indescribable and bonded us forever. And that's what family should be.
With that, I wanted to take a moment as well, because the trip wouldn't have happened if it would not have been for the God dreams of the Cola Giovanni's. And so what I wanted to do was I wanted to give them a couple of minutes just to share of what God is telling them, speaking to their heart. Before they do, though, I think that it's important for you to understand that your God dreams are important, that your God dreams are in a safe place here, and we need to be brave enough to speak those in front of other people. We need to be brave enough to say things that we're unsure about sometimes, but, you know, God's been speaking to my heart, because when we don't do those things, then great things can't grow. They can't go forward. Part of you being in a safe place for your God dreams is that we want to support those God dreams. We want to, as a church family, to hear the things that are on your heart, and we want to grow together. We have the reach, embrace, abound thing. Part of the embracing is understanding that we all don't think the same. That we may look at a problem and we may see it in five different ways, but you know what? I want to hear your way. I want to hear the solution God's speaking to you. So, Cola Giovanni's, if you'd like to come up, I just appreciate so much what they did. I appreciate so much that Jerry Culbertson was willing to get in his truck and to leave days before we did to take supplies that we didn't have to mess with. To go on his own. He drove out there, whether you know that or not. And when we left, do you know where Jerry was? He was still there working. And he came back days after, and he did that alone. And he did that for the good of the group. Not for applause, but he did it because that's what God said to him. And you know what? He called me one day and he said, "Hey, guy, I got an idea." That's how God works. Don't be quiet about your God dreams.
I want to ask you guys, how many of you guys have a God dream so deep into your soul that hasn't even birthed yet? I want to see hands. How many of you guys? I know it's probably all you guys. Everybody raise your hand. Some of them have birth. A lot of them haven't. And this dream was about 6 years in the making. I had, Jason's had plenty of opportunities to go on mission trips with friends of ours. And for some reason, whether it was out of fear, finances, or just not God's timing, and I feel that it wasn't God's timing that was for him to go, because see, God gave me a vision of my husband and I and Ariana front running something and starting something, because we can always follow, but sometimes he's called us to lead, right? And he called us to lead this. And I think I was journaling for years about, he gave me visions, and you can vouch for this, of making t-shirts. And I thought it was a different group of people. I was making t-shirts for people and selling them and just making money, right? And I've written this all down in a journal. He's given me a vision of fundraising. He's given me a vision of the group of people, and there were young people. I love teenagers, but they're not my favorite because I can't jump into the world real quick. So there were younger kids. I never thought it was going to be our youth group. And so I continue to write and dream and pray and yearn for going on a mission trip and seeing our church go on a mission trip and seeing that unity take place in our church. And so all of a sudden, one day, I was in the middle of cleaning, listening to worship music, and the Lord said, "Now, move." And I said, "Where?" And literally, it was so loud to me. And I said, "Okay." And I literally fell to tears. I had no clue what he was saying. And I had tears. I fell to my knees. And I said, "Well, where? What?" And he said, "The mission trip." And I said, "Well, who?" And he said, "The youth group." And I said, "What youth group?" He's like, "Your youth group." And I said, "Okay, well, where do I begin? Y'all know I don't have computer skills. I have problems reading. I am not good with any of that stuff." So the anxiety and the fear started arising in me once again. And the Lord said, "No." So then I called Bob, and I was telling Bob my God dream. And you know, Bob gets real excited for that stuff, but then that other voice, like, "Yeah, is this really gonna happen?" And like, it was this back and forth, you know? And so we just started talking, and he's like, "Well, where do you wanna go?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I started, and before I called him, I started doing research and everything like that. And all of a sudden, we were throwing around places, and he's like, "What about an Indian reservation?" And we had a Holy Ghost party on that phone. Started praying in tongues and all the above, because see, Jason has a heart for Indian reservations and he has studied on them and he's always said he's wanted to go on it, and the Lord reminded me. And I said, "Bob, that's where it is." So I started to continue doing research, and then all of a sudden, fear started coming even more. And the naysayers started coming. I started sharing my dreams, and even my own best friends were like, "That's not going to happen. How's that going to happen? Nobody's going to support you. Who's going to go? No one's going to pay this money." And then I went to bed one night, and the Lord gave me this dream, and it was so real. I was swimming in an ocean, in a calm ocean. Skies were blue, and it was just calm. It was just me, the ocean, and God. Now I'm so far out there, and I'm swimming. And all of a sudden, this beautiful color fish comes coming by. And I start riding this fish. And all of a sudden, it goes away. And I just start swimming. And all these fish start coming, you know, just one at a time. Because I kept on, doubt in me. I didn't know how to prepare a fundraiser. I wanted our families to go for almost free. That's what I wanted. Because I wanted to see you guys know that God can do anything. He can provide for all of us, right? So I was going to make that happen because God wanted that to happen. So all of a sudden, the Lord says, when I'm riding those fishes and they would go away, he said, "I'm going to give you one fish at a time to provide the skill set that you don't have, Monica. And he has given me." And when they and he did say, once they fish, you know, swim away, don't get upset. And it happened to Kristen Knipp doing fundraising letters. To, I mean, Dina doing finances. To my girlfriend Chris doing runs for me for fundraising. I mean, it's amazing. And then a naysayer started coming. The Lord kept on whispering, "Trust my voice. Trust my voice. This is my dream, Monica. You're just the instrument, and I'm playing you." Okay? So I continued. And then the Lord reminded me the calling for Bob, for missions. And I remember the story that he's told years ago. And it happened. And I'm sad that it's over. But it isn't. And watching this video brings tears to my eyes. Because see, God wants you guys to know dreams can happen if you don't allow that fear and discouragement to happen. And those naysayers, because your own best friends that are Christians will be those naysayers. Because not every person's going to see the vision that God gives you. And you have to remember that. Because my vision might not mean as much to you guys as it means to me. And that's okay. And these kids are our future leaders. To see them come together and her adults come together, it was beautiful. And this is not the end. There will be another, and another, and another, and another. And it just won't be our youth group. I'm going to show you.
I just wanted to say that, you know, in the beginning of all this, God most definitely used my wife more than he did with me, just with the dream. And, you know, in the beginning, I was just there as a support for my wife. She put in hours and hours of just trying to get this thing going. And it was hard because, like she said, we've never done it. You know, I don't know if this church has ever gone on a mission trip. And it was hard. And she put the fundraising, everything together to make the amount of money available for us to go. It was just truly amazing. It was just with the help of Bob and Dina and Kristen and everybody else that did it. It was just truly God. And I just want to say thank you, and I'm proud of you. As far as the trip goes, the trip was amazing. I just want to say that I'm proud of all the kids. I don't think I heard the kids complain about anything that they were doing. I mean, these kids were mixing concrete, mortar, laying block. They were roofing, tarring, shingling, you name it, wheelbarrowing, loading up pickup trucks full of stone and sand. I mean, they were out there working every single day, along with the adults. I don't think I heard one person complain about anything. It wasn't the greatest living conditions, the showers, the sleeping, but it was all temporal. I just want to say I'm proud of everybody and everybody coming together on a moment's notice. Like Bob said, things change like that in a split second, you know.
God provided.
Yeah, God definitely provided.
All the way to the point of Bob was so planning on teaching the kids. And then all of a sudden, I looked over. Dina was just so tired at one point. And Bob was like, oh my, like, you ever see Bob when he gets freaked out? His eyes go like this. And he doesn't blink for a while. That's what happened. And saw Jason pick up a piece of paper, heard the jobs, starting writing down groups when Bob didn't even know. And that relieved, like, just those little bits of the adults took, I mean, God had them in each positioned right where they needed to be, to the point that where Nikki was at, she had a Holy Ghost party with one of the ladies, you know, and there was divine appointments. You forget about that stuff when you come home, and it makes me sad, because I don't want to forget about that.
So I just wanted to say thank you for all the kids and the adults, and Jerry, thank you so much. You know, your expertise out there was definitely, we needed that. And like I said, just things changing on a dime. You know, we went to a, this one I just kind of laugh at, but we were at a tent revival, and out of nowhere, these people wanted us to come up and like talk or sing or do something, and Bob wasn't even there. He was out where the making the fry bread. That's where Bob was, they're talking. And so when I saw this happening, I kind of let Dina take it, and I kind of ran out with Bob. I knew she wasn't happy. But, yeah, I just wanted to bring that up. It was funny. But I just wanted to say thank you, and that I'm proud of all the kids and everybody. And like Monica said, this won't be the end. I know there's going to be more to come. So thank you.
I'm not really supposed to be part of the program, but I just wanted Monica to know that the vision she had, the dream that you had, I had the very same dream a couple years ago, and I don't even swim, so I'm afraid of water, okay, but I was out in the middle of the ocean, and it was so beautiful, and the sun was shining, and the waters were calm, and my husband was there with me, but he was a little, I started kind of floating farther away from him, and he said, honey, are you okay? Are you? I said, I'm fine. And I looked around, and there was all these fish, and they were all different colors. And that's what every tribe and every tongue, they were all different colors. I just wanted to share that with you, that when she said she had that dream, I've never heard her talk about that before, but I just felt the Holy Spirit so strong, and I just wanted to confirm that with you guys.
That is awesome. You'll give me a couple. I'm going to share what I think God's saying to us through this. Throw that quote up there. There is a quote, and it does not come from the Bible. It comes from Captain Jack Sparrow. The quote is this: the problem is not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've heard this my whole life. I've memorized this my whole life. I've known this my whole life. But as I was there, I would wonder, and you could ask people this morning, how many of us want more when it comes to God? And we would all raise our hand. We'd say, I want more. Well, let me tell you what it looks like in light of our trip. In one of his last, well, it was his last speech, Dr. Martin Luther King had said, I've been to the mountaintop. Obvious biblical references there. Well, after this one, I feel like I've been to the mesa, and here's how it felt for me. Up there, I remember the one day when things had fallen apart, for the most part, and Pastor J.R., whom I had not met, and I had told you before, I looked through a hole in the roof that was built wrong, and J.R., asks John Nipp, who is the minister? And John pointed at me. I saw you, John. And I had told you, you know, pastor had said, can't wait to hear you speak tomorrow night. And I'm like, yeah, you know, 5'10", right? He's like, no, like 30. I'm like, you mean preach? Or yeah, do that. So I go back, and I'm like, the minister. And so I'm on my phone, so I look up the word minister, because when you freak out, you forget basic terms, and minister means to attend to the needs of someone. I'm like, wow, I can do that. In the past, I always looked at that scripture, Galatians 6:2, as a way like the song Lean on Me would play in the background. Like, if you're going through something, I'm going to help you out. That's how I always looked at it. But during this trip, I began to realize that the love of God sometimes causes us to set aside our picture-perfect ideals in order to carry things for other people, to give to them. Prior to this trip, the words that had been spoken, the things that had been said, it hit me that my job was to carry that to them. Here I had it in my video in my head that their revival was going to break out in the desert. Fire was going to fall amongst the cactus. Cacti, I guess, and we were going to be a part of that. It was just going to be kumbaya moment. But God said to me, remember all those things that had been handed to you. When I'm writing this sermon of a thing, he's like, just give it to them. Just give them what I've given you. Your job was just to carry this. Your perception makes things that have been handed to you look different. Burdens are often given to us in pieces. Maybe something that we would give to someone else, we may consider a burden, but it's what they've been looking for the whole time. See, I choose how I see things. I choose my perception of what happens matters. Example, Steve.
God is doing some awesome things in outreach.
I can ponder that. I can ponder that. I can either take that as these roses walk around like God's doing awesome things in outreach. God's doing awesome things in outreach. Or Steve can say that to me.
God is doing some awesome things in outreach.
And I can be like, but the trip, but my plans. Like, oh, just let me take this weight. Yeah, it's no problem. I can carry this. I can do stuff. My perception when good things happen. I could have taken the words that were given before the trip and been like, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this word? Yeah, these people need help, but come on, it's about me. This is my mission trip. People can say things.
This is a new season for Living Proof Youth Ministry.
Yeah, it is a new season because none of my plans are going right. None of my plans are going right. Here, I'll just take this weight. Thanks for the word. Thanks for the burden, Pastor. Awesome. Just carry this along. Great mission trip. Or I could take it as,
this is a new season of ministry for Living Proof Youth Ministry.
This is a start. This is a reset. This is something that I didn't see happening. This. As I walk along and I do the things that I'm doing, I can carry those. I don't know why I'm carrying roses. If you saw me walking through the mall carrying roses, you'd think I'm cracked. But maybe, just maybe, I'm supposed to give those to someone. Maybe God's going to put someone in my path that I'm going to have no clue what it means. The words that God gave for us to share with them, we had no clue. We had no clue where it was going to go. There's more people that are scattered around here, and they have the same kind of words. But what are your perceptions of the things that God is saying with you? Are you taking those things as good things or bad things? I read something the other day, and it said every miracle in the Bible began as a problem. In any given situation, a spotlight is shining. It's shining. God is saying, where are you directing that? Are you trying to stand in that? Are you trying to be the one? Is it about a bigger picture, or are you making it about you? We hear the term the bride of Christ. We hear that term, and we say, yeah, I'm the bride. Well, we are. But maybe, just maybe, our role is to be there, to be part of someone else's story as they become that bride. As they get their invitation to this wedding supper, as we are a part of their story, and as we step out of the spotlight so that they could be in that. Have you ever taken a moment to consider that we are called to minister to that bride? That our calling is to minister to them. Sometimes I'm to be the bridesmaid. Sometimes that's who I'm supposed to be. And God speaks to me visually sometimes, and it looks like this. If you could roll that video, it's a 30-second video. This is kind of how it looks in my mind when I'm trying to do it my way.
I am slowly coming around to realize that it's my day. I'm going to get what I want. We're going to all wear gray.
Yeah.
This is the bridesmaid.
Dresses are ugly. I hate this dress. It looks like someone threw up on me.
As a maid of honor, I feel like I have the power to decide what happens.
The focus needs to be on Megan. It's her time.
Yeah.
And Jessica needs to respect Megan and her opinion.
I don't want to wear it.
No, with this. The guy standing here ends up saying to this maid of honor, he's like, Jessica, why are you so upset? And if I could say anything to the church half the time, be like, Jessica, why are you so upset? She said, I don't want to wear that dress. She goes on to say, I have waited 20 years to be in your wedding. I would not do this to you. That's what I do. That's what I could have done on the trip. Like, I have waited so long to be on this reservation. How dare you, gnats? How dare you? These dogs, coarse dogs. Maybe when it comes to our role in others' lives, we need to look at ourselves as kind of a spiritual Sherpa, if you will. If you don't know what a Sherpa is, then go on an expedition to Everest, and they're the people who carry all your stuff so that when you get to the top of the mountain, you can look like you did it all. The Sherpas carry the load, and they do so with a smile, and they do so because they know that they're part of a bigger picture at times. Understand that carrying things that feel like a burden to us that we're going to hand off to others will not diminish from our heavenly reward. Just as Jesus washed the disciples' feet, it didn't decrease who he was. It simply showed them where the spotlight really was supposed to be. I know in whom I believed. When things get hard and it doesn't go my way, I know that my name is written in his book. I know that I have this hope that's like an anchor. I know that he has made me a new creation. I know that he's gone to prepare a place for me. The Holy Spirit was never meant to stay within walls. When the fruit of the Spirit, when we let it loose outside of there and you see things like love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those play out outside these walls so well. Because those people that don't know Jesus need someone to be gentle. They need someone to be long-suffering. They need someone to be loving. If we aren't doing those things in those walls, then we have a whole nother sermon we need to be preaching right now. The things that God has prepared for you, the blessings, the next levels, do not miss them because of the plan Bs, the plan Cs. Don't just hear, but listen. Because see, the thing I was reminded of on that trip and the thing that I'm reminded of now is at the end of Elijah's time here when he turns to Elisha and he asks Elisha, what can I do for you? What can I do for you before I'm taken up? And Elisha says to him, a double blessing, a double portion. After Elisha spoke those words, it was out of his hands, and they went walking. And when you read the passage in 2 Kings 2, they'd stop here, and people would ask, so when's Elijah going to be taken up? And they'd be like, don't talk about it. Be quiet. And they'd go to another place. So when's it going to happen? Be quiet. Elisha wasn't worried about that mantle after he had been told. The things that God has spoken to your heart, the things that are there will not be diminished. Those things, that mantle, you may feel like you're the maid of honor right now, but the wedding day's coming. Know when to step back and know when to step forward. Know what to do with the things that God has given you. And understand this, that in the end, it's all about that bride. The channel set on Jesus, but it's all about that bride, and it's all about us pointing them toward him. The camera's on, the lights are on, and in the end, what are we going to do with that? My challenge to you as I end this is, I'm not going to stand here and say you need to start saving money to go on a mission trip. What I'm going to say is that every single day of our life is a mission. Are you living it that way? Are you living it that way to be intentional? How many days have we given up before it's 8:10 in the morning? How many times have we walked past people? How? How many times do we just think, well, God, you understand if I'm not missional today because I'm just not feeling it? Feel it. Feel it. The unity we saw in that group wasn't just amazing. It was beyond words. To be able to learn from young people who didn't complain, to be able to follow their lead, that's where I want to be. God, leave me teachable. Let me know that it's okay to follow. Let me know that the mantle that you have, God, it's there. It's going to fall. I can't worry it into existence. I can't complain it into existence. Your ways, God. Before I pray, it is so important for you sitting here to begin to live prolific. Christ didn't create us to blend. Those God dreams that are screaming to get out of your chest, all those things that you had put away, you packed away, we talked about it in other sermons, bring it to light. Someone needs to see that. Someone needs to see it. If you'll bow your heads, we're going to pray. After we pray, I'm going to ask the prayer elders to come up. Al, if you'd like to come up and play softly while they're going to be praying. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your missional heart that you have placed within this body. Thank you for people who step out when scared, but step out in obedience. Because we need to see that. Thank you for the things that you're going to do on that reservation and the things that we were part of that story. For the souls that are going to come into your kingdom, God, it was a privilege. And Lord, for everyone here who at times may wonder, why am I always the bridesmaid? You have a plan. You have a plan. I speak your blessing in this house, your blessing on these people. And God, I pray that this week would be a week of mission. In your name I pray. Amen. If the prayer team would come forward. If anyone would like to come forward for prayer, typically we do this before offering. Today, because we had a video and some different things going on, we did it differently. There's no small matter when it comes to burdens that we carry and that we need to pray about. God is not scared of whatever we may bring forward to the altar here. As Alan plays, if you need prayer for anything, please come forward. If you do not wish to have prayer for anything, I would ask that you just pray. I would ask that you pray for whoever comes up here. I've seen broken hearts bound here. I've seen freedom happen here. I've stood when I knew that God was healing. And sometimes, to stand in front of someone who doesn't have all the answers but says, I'll pray with you. I'll agree with you. That means so much. We'll wait here for a little while. If you do not wish for prayer, feel free to be dismissed. Feel free. As always when I do this, I ask that if you're going to talk or fellowship, please do it out here. Thank you for coming here today. Thank you for listening to our story. Thank you for your support. And thank you for all of the things that we're going to do together. Thank you.
to the song of our song. Won't you romance me, the song of all song. Behold, you've come over the hill upon the mountain. To me you've run, my beloved, you captured my heart. Behold, over the hills, upon the mountain. To me you've run, oh my beloved, you've captured my heart. Won't you dance with me? To the song of our song, won't you romance me, your lover of my soul? To the song of our song. To the song of all